As we continue in worship, we turn to the opportunity to read Scripture and to hear a word from God this morning. So as we do that, let us pray a prayer of illumination. Lord God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for another opportunity to read your word and to hear from you, Lord, to be encouraged, to be transformed as we live as your disciples in the world. So God, I ask that your Holy Spirit speak through me and inspire me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture for this morning comes from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 33 through 37. It says, "Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?' Pilate replied, 'I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here.' Pilate asked him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice.'" I'll read verse 38 too. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So Jesus has been traveling on the way to Jerusalem and has been teaching his disciples all throughout the Gospel of John here. And his time with his disciples is coming to an end. Jesus had just lived through one of the hardest nights of his life, a Last Supper with his disciples, hours of tearful prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the brutal betrayal of a friend. He's now found himself in the headquarters of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who is trying hard to defuse a civil crisis. Pilate, the person who was in control of the area, the most powerful person in Jerusalem, now had Jesus before him. And after Pilate questioned Jesus, I mean, really, he could not find charges against him. So he went back to Caiaphas and Ananias, and who were putting pressure on Pilate to charge Jesus. You see, Pilate was going back and forth, trying to figure out what the charges were against Jesus, asking the religious leaders why they brought Jesus to him. And then in verse 33, where I started reading this morning, Pilate summoned Jesus to his palace and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Pilate's conversation, Pilate's question to Jesus is found in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's pretty consistent throughout the four. Pilate is trying to figure out for himself. He's trying to figure out what the charges are. He's trying to figure out what it is with Jesus instead of hearing it from everyone else. He was trying to figure out if it was gossip or gospel. But even if one knows if it's gossip or gospel, they must have decided whether to follow the gospel or the gossip. I switched that up every time I said it, I know. Jesus doesn't answer the question directly. I mean, how could he? The title King of the Jews hardly summoned Jesus' mission. But after a few more questions, Pilate finally conceded that, yes, Jesus is a king. You know, this is the last day of the Christian year. Next Sunday is the beginning of Advent, the start of the new year. And in many churches, this Sunday is known as Christ the King Sunday, the day that the church affirms the universal and the eternal rule and reign of Christ as Lord and King of all creation. Now, I realize that king language has virtually no meaning for us who live in a modern democracy. You know, so what are we to do with this scripture, this king scripture that we read about today? Are we just to throw it out or skip over it? No. You see, because Pilate's question is ours as well. As we look at the events of this world and as we look at the problems that arise even just this week, this of a world that can cause us fear and concern, we wonder, could you, Jesus, be sovereign over all this? Who is in charge? You know, today the church pauses to reflect on the significance of the truth that Jesus not only loves and cares and empathizes and comforts and saves, Jesus Christ rules. Jesus Christ in word and in deed, in his life, death, and resurrection, is demonstrating God, is God demonstrating that no matter how chaotic or difficult this world becomes, God is in control. And not only do we believe that God is in control, but God is our, and Jesus is our first allegiance. Not to a political party, not to the opinions of our family and friends and neighbors, not to our even our nation, but to Christ. To believe that Christ is enough. You know, during ordination, we had to answer a bunch of questions. Ordination takes many, many years. It's a lot of different meetings. And one of the questions that we have to answer, and Ray, I think Ray was even in interviews when I was going through the ordination process, but one of the questions is what does it mean in today's day and age to declare Jesus Christ as King? And how does that affect the way you live? What does it mean in today's day and age to declare Jesus Christ as King? And how does that affect the way you live? See, when Christ is King, our hearts are his throne to reign, and our thoughts and our actions are influenced by his unconditional love and grace. That even in our imperfection and sin, we seek him in love. I might have answered it somewhere along those lines, and it may have been a little bit longer than that. You see, this application to those who love Jesus is clear, that what Christ loved and desired, we should love and desire and to work to complete. His work to see lost men saved and built up, his work to see the world redeemed, his work to see this unfinished world brought to completion, we who love Jesus are called to this type of task. God's not called the church to be spectators of global chaos, but instead to be agents of healing and love and hope over and against the forces of evil and destruction. Helen Keller once said that the world is moved along not only by the mighty shove of heroes, but also by the aggregate of tiny pushes of each honest worker. Not just the shove of the heroes, but the small work of each and every honest worker. You see, that's who we are called to be. Those honest workers, striving after the completion of what God started. How would our lives change if we lived with the idea that we are enough and that we have enough? Enough to love, enough to give, enough to live. E. Stanley Jones once wrote, I'm going to get this mic figured out. These tiny ears of mine, I tell you. E. Stanley Jones once wrote that I saw as in a flash that all man-made kingdoms are shakable. The kingdom of communism is shakable. They have to hold together by purges, by force that cannot relax, or that force will fall apart. The kingdom of capitalism is shakable. The daily fluctuation of the stock market on account of the courses of events shows that the kingdom of capitalism is shakable. The kingdom of self is shakable. Center yourself on yourself as the center of your kingdom, and the self will sour and go to pieces. The kingdom of health is shakable. Radio and TV blare constantly with supposed health remedies that hold this physical life together. They fall short. Everything is shakable except one, the kingdom of God, the one and only unshakable kingdom. The kingdom of God, the one and only unshakable kingdom. You see, Jesus' words, his presence, his actions constantly remind us that the worldly authority has no power over the kingdom of heaven. You see, Pilate had no power over Jesus. Pilate was caught between a rock and a hard place. He was trying to access the facts from the religious leaders. He was trying to seek the truth, even as the truth was looking him in the face. He was in a situation of either keeping everyone happy with his position as governor or doing what he knew was right in releasing Jesus. And he ultimately put his position and power over his concern for Christ. You know, Pilate never came to really understand what it means to be king in the same ways that Jesus understood kingdom. Pilate understood kingdom in earthly terms, where Jesus redefined what it means to be king and saying, my kingdom is not from this world, my kingdom is not from here. In other words, Jesus is saying that reality, the reality from which he sees the world, is not limited to power and politics of the Roman regent in Galilee or even the rulers of the temple in Jerusalem. You see, God's reality, the power of God in the world, is so much bigger than that. And perhaps it's that larger perspective in which Jesus comes to Pilate that gives him the courage to live into the larger reality instead of being dismayed by that immediate situation. When I think about my life, I think it's when I come to that, or when we come to the understanding of the kingdom is not from this world, that we're able to fully commit to Christ. Because our relationship with Christ is not based on our worldly circumstance or situation. I mean, can you imagine if our whole relationship with Christ was based on us and what was happening to us? We would have a hard time with that. We would have a hard time believing in a God that loves us the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We would have a hard time really coming to know that no matter what happens in our life, Christ is with us. That the immediate reality that we face, the ups and the downs of this world, is not the whole story. God is doing something bigger, something that leads us toward wholeness and hope. You know, for so many, they're hemmed in what they can't do or know or love or give. Their whole world is based on what people have told them who they can be in a limited and scarce mindset. But in contrast, God is full of endless possibilities for you and for me. You know, one way we can live into those possibilities, one way we can live into all that God desires for our life is being part of a community of faith, a church, and to commit to that church, to respond to that church by saying, I have enough, I am enough. And sometimes, even when it feels like a stretch, we continue to move forward and give thanks to God. And as a church, we have the responsibility to think and pray and how we best live out the kingdom of God for us. And so as we kind of end our couple weeks of stewardship, I want to invite you in the next week or two, you'll be receiving a letter in the mail with a pledge card as an opportunity to commit to what God's doing here at Northwest Hills, the ministries of Northwest Hills, and you're part of that work. Knowing that of all that's going on outside of us, we still trust that God is in control. And we still trust that we have a part in what God is doing. I want us to remember that when we make a commitment, we do it because God first loved us. We're not initiating the commitment, but God has already done that through Jesus Christ. We're responding to the commitment that God has made in us to be all that we can be with what he's blessed us with. Christ is King. And as we live in this unfinished world, we have a part. We've been called to be his priests and his princes and his ambassadors and his ministers. He's called us to make a sacrifice on his behalf. And so, as I finished, may you reflect, is Christ King in my life? If not, what's holding you back from giving yourself fully to Christ? What might need to change, maybe in your daily walk, or maybe just within your own thinking and heart? Hope is coming. Victory will be yours in the end. Have patience, persevere, and know that you have enough to live. When we trust God, we give all of ourselves to God, and we'll be close to the kingdom of God, where all people will understand the gift of love that Christ has given to each one of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity on Christ the King Sunday, in a week in which was so up and down once again with all that was going on in our world and so many emotions and so many thoughts that get poured forth on us. Lord, may we remember that you are our hope. You are our King, the love of our life. So may we look to you for direction. May we look to you for hope and the light. And may we be light. Thank you for all the ways in which Northwest Hills is making a difference in this world. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. And when we fall short, we thank you for your grace. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.